One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Today on The Grave Talks, The Dark Explorer, a conversation with John Montelongo. With over 27 years of paranormal experience, John Montelongo has dedicated his life to helping others confront the darker forces lurking in the world. John is the founder and lead investigator of Dark Explorers Paranormal. Based out of Texas, they travel wherever people need help. They specialize in cases involving dark energy, elemental, demonic, and dark entities. Their mission? To shed light on the unexplained and provide solace to those haunted by the paranormal. But what sets John apart is his deep-rooted connection to this realm, a legacy passed down through generations on both sides of his family tree. With a lifetime of exposure to the supernatural, his perspective offers a unique lens to help better understand the mysteries of the paranormal. Today on The Grave Talks, we'll explore the dark side of the paranormal with John Montelongo. I want to say, first off, thank you so much for doing the show with me today. I really appreciate it. And you and I kind of met on Facebook. In fact, now we're Facebook friends. So yep. I guess we're officially friends. So you work in the paranormal field. And one thing you said to me was that you work on darker cases.
Yeah.
And I kind of wanted to know, how did that happen? What happened to you in your life that kind of led you to where you are now? That might be an hour-long conversation in itself. But you know what I'm saying? I think all of us have kind of a paranormal origin story where we all started. And I was just kind of wondering what got you interested in the paranormal. And then we'll kind of talk about how you ended up doing the darker cases.
Okay. Well, like I tell everybody, there's people who are just hobbyists and who are interested in the paranormal. Like myself, I was born into this type of thing. So when I say that, it means like I grew up just kind of seeing things in my house, hearing things in my house, stuff that's happened to me, stuff that's happened to my family. And it was all because, you know, it's all generational. And when I say that, it means like my grandma used to, you know, pray over people, and she would do witchcraft and stuff like that. And whatever she would do, we would not be a part of it, but it was just kind of like something that was just like, hey, you know, that's pretty much what we do. And found out that it goes through other generations and generations and generations of this, up until like where my dad has done this as well. And pretty much I just kind of took, you know, followed in his footsteps on this process of trying to help people and facing some of the stuff that they consider like demonic or even witchcraft or hoodoo or voodoo, whatever it may be. You know, we would just go and try to help them. So during all that, like I said, even as a kid, you know, I would just, you know, be in my house and see shadows, hear stuff, footsteps, even my name being called, you know. And being that young, I really didn't know what was going on. I just kind of like, okay, well, my name is being called down the hall and there's nobody home. So like, but you know, growing up into it and just getting raised into it, it was just becoming more second nature, you know. So I really didn't get bothered by it at all, you know. And there was even a time there where I was just, you know, just stepped out of it for a little while and just, you know, really did like teenagers do and focus on sports and girls and stuff like that. Right. And yeah, so you know, I really didn't pay attention to that type of stuff, but I knew it was around because I would still hear things. I would still see things. I would even feel them. Going to my cousin's house, just visiting family. I mean, even my grandma's house, going down there, you know, I would witness things and see things and hear things. So, you know, it was just normal. Yeah, it was very normal for us growing up into, you know, to our family and witnessing and all that.
Was your grandmother who has these abilities, was that your mom's or your dad's mom?
That's my dad's side. Yeah, that's my dad's side.
Because recently I had on our other show, Real Ghost Stories Online, we had a letter from somebody mm-hmm. who said that it had been passed down from her father's side, mm-hmm. but she was kind of not really sure because she had never heard of it passed down from the paternal side. And I'm like, yeah. Why couldn't that happen?
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing is like from my mom's side, my mom's mom, she died while my mom was a baby. So, well, not a baby, you know, more of a little girl, and she died in a car accident. So we really didn't get to know anything about her mom or anything like that. And then, you know, her dad too was very, he was very much into the type of same thing that my dad's side was, but very on the lower level thing. Like, meaning like, it was very hush hush, you know, as opposed to my dad's side, you know, everybody knew, don't mess with that lady. Yeah. Don't you mess with her, you know, don't say anything bad about her family. Don't do this. But if you need help, she's the one to help you, but don't double cross her, you know, and that's the way it was. But the weird story is that my dad's side of the family were considered, like back in the older days, were considered the witches, so to speak. And then my mom's side of the family were the witch hunters, so to speak. Oh. So, yeah, they would – the stories that I've heard from my mom's side is like my mom's dad's, like grandparents and all them, they would actually go into the woods and try to find people with the occults and, you know, do crazy things, you know, try to capture them, cut their hair, all this other stuff, and use their hair for rituals and try to – you know, hurt them, killed them, whatever they may be. And my dad's side is the ones that were the witches, and they would be running from the groups such as my mom's side of the family, you know. And then somehow or other, my mom and my dad met in like third grade or something like that, and, you know, went back and forth with each other as far as like, you know, one moved away, one moved back, and all this other stuff. And then, you know, it wasn't until their late 20s when they found each other again. They're like, hey, I remember you. And yeah, they got together and been together ever since. And I'm guess I'm kind of like that product of that witch hunter and the witch type of thing.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's really interesting.
It's a weird stories that I've heard. I mean, because I've tried to go into like the back end stories of trying to find the origins of how our families started and all this other stuff. And it turned out like our family was already here when Texas was Mexico, but we still had family who would come in from the Mexico area, and finding out that our family from my dad's side would actually hunt down other families for their power. And, you know, I hate to say the word kill them, but they would, you know, do harm to them to gain their power and all this other stuff. And that's how we got into our power. I mean, just listening to some of those stories from like my great uncles and all that other stuff. And I'm like, what in the world? Like,
what did I come from?
Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty much how, I mean,
now, how did your dad deal with his abilities then? So when you were growing up, did he kind of do what you do now, investigations and try to help people rid themselves of things, or was he just open to it?
So my dad was, so paranormal research wasn't really a thing back then.
That's true. You're right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not going to jump into it right now, but like back, I mean, he would have been like, probably if he had passed, he probably would be like 78, 79, something like that right now. So like back in his age, I mean, that was not a thing. You know, if it was just like, nobody wants to touch it. Nobody wants to talk about it. Don't say nothing about it. Don't do this. But it was very well into our family. But he knew, because they would like take all his brothers and his sisters and stuff like that, and they would go into the woods, and then his mom and his dad and their uncles and their brothers and would just like sit in a circle, light a fire, and then they would do rituals out there, and they would ask my dad to go bury stuff and, you know, all these other things. And it wasn't really like a paranormal thing, like I said, and it was more ritualistic than anything else. So like growing up, he was kind of witness into that and was actually pulled into that himself. So growing up, he started learning that he actually had abilities in prayer than anything else. And yeah, he understood more of what he's up against and what he could do with all this other stuff. So, but the thing is too, that he really didn't have anybody to talk to about this besides, you know, his mom, and his mom was not very talkative about it as well. So there was like a big gap there between, hey, I have these abilities and I can astral project and I can astral walk and all this other stuff. And I know things before things happen and all this other stuff. I mean, he had all this, but he just didn't have the information that we would do now, you know? So like now, I mean, yeah, I'll just say, hey, look up the five clairs real quick and you tell me which one of those hits you perfect or if all of them, you know? And then, yeah, we'll get into the whole conversation about that. He really didn't understand anything. He just knew that he had abilities and he used them to the best that he could. And then what he did towards the end of his life, or like the last 4 or 5 years, he actually changed all that. So when I say that, I mean, like, instead of using his abilities for like the evil stuff and the darker things, he actually did a flip and just like, you know what? I'm just going to use all of this for prayer. I'm not going to touch other things. I understand it. I know what to do with it. I can deal with it. I can get rid of it, but I'm not going to use what I have for that. So he pretty much used everything in prayer, you know? So he got to the point to where he just went to a food shelter here in our local one here in Belton, and just asked him one day, is like, hey, can I have this corner here? And if anybody comes in who's picking up food or looking for clothes and they're wanting to accept prayer, I'm right here. And they said, yeah, sure, you can do that. So he was there for like almost 2 years, something like that, 3 years. And that's all he did. And he was very, very, very strong with his prayer. He was very strong with that, you know. So, and he would help out a lot of people. But of course, he knew more of the people in the Spanish community, so they would reach out to him more than anything else. And, you know, that's how he kind of dealt with it. But having a conversation with him one-on-one, I never really had the chance to do that, you know, which I always kick myself in the butt for that. But I should have just like sit there and talk to him about what I'm experiencing, what I'm hearing. Yeah. He used to feel the same way, you know, how does all that happen? And, you know, but I try to sit there and talk to my mom about it, but she'll every once in a while say, yeah, your dad, you know, his hands would get hot when, you know, he would pray over people, or he would have feelings, or he would have visions, and he would, like, when he sleep, he would, like, and, you know, astral walk, and he could see himself hovering over himself and travel to different places and all this other stuff. And, you know, I was just like, okay, well, I wish I would have known that, you know, but, you know, that's how he dealt with it. He just kind of learned on the go. And I pretty much took the same road. I kind of learned as I went along with this. And yeah, I took some bumps and bruises along the way, but, you know, I got to the point now to where I feel like I'm the strongest at what I'm doing.
Do you have some of those abilities like he had?
I do not have the astral walk. I don't have that. I wish I did. That would be pretty cool. But the prayer I do have, the openness I do have, the feelings, the visions. Sometimes I'll get like a vision of something up for almost a year, and then I finally get a case, and I'm like, what in the world? I've been seeing this for about a year now, and it is exactly the same thing that I have been seeing. You know, I've got, you know, the empathic ability, the psychometry ability, and, you know, so I have a little bits of everything on there. So, you know, I do have that, but it's something that I wish I could have talked to him about more.
You know, growing up with all of those things, and some, you know, because I grew up in a haunted house, and,
yeah,
you know, you hear people walking around. I never knew what it was, but there's a man walking through our house. It always really bothered me, and it really terrified me. At some point, you kind of embraced that in you, mm-hmm. your abilities, and you started going into paranormal investigations, and you started the group Dark Explorers Paranormal Team?
Yes, I did.
And when did you start that?
That it's probably been now about 6-7 years or something like that already. But I've been with like another team before, and I've, you know, in the majority of the time I've helped my dad. So I've been around, but just not really with teams. So, you know, the last team that I was with, which was with Blue Bonnet here in Texas, I literally just moved to like the Temple area, and, you know, I really didn't know anybody. And I was just like, you know what, I want to jump on a team. I want to see if there's any teams out there just to be a part of. And I found them and literally had a conversation with the founder. And I was just telling her like, hey, you know what, we're going to have nothing but demonic cases from now on, you know, dark cases. And she was like, nah, we hardly get those. My very first case with them was something like that. You know, it was a demonic case that had an attachment to a pregnant woman. And, you know, pregnant women are very big, you know, but this particular case, you know, she looked like a skeleton. You know, it was literally the sucking her life force away. I mean, she, just looking at her, you were like, how is she pregnant? But she looked skeleton, but you can see the big belly. You can see, you know, the pregnancy. We worked that case. And after that, it was just like, you know, bam, 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 darker cases, darker cases, darker cases. Like I said, I don't know if things are attracted to me that they want to, I don't know, face me, so to speak. Or is it that I'm just getting cases like that because we just handle darker cases.
Because you and I were chatting on Facebook, and you did say, because you've been doing this for almost 24 years, paranormal mm-hmm. research, and you said, I tend to find the darker cases, or should I say the darker cases tend to find me?
Yeah.
And maybe it could be one of two ways. Maybe it is that they want to face you, but maybe mm-hmm. it's you're the person who can help this poor person who needs you.
Yeah.
Because there's not a lot of people with that ability.
Yeah, me and Jordan come to the conclusion already, like, we only get the cases that are meant for us to help on. You know, so, I mean, it's sometimes they'll be in Temple, sometimes they'll be Houston, Dallas, wherever it may be. But there could be 3 or 4 investigating teams that go in there, but for some reason, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And then all of a sudden, hey, I heard about you guys. We go in there, and whatever spirit is in there, they're right away on the spirit box calling my name. And I haven't even done anything yet. I'm literally just setting up, pushing record, and here goes John. John John's here, or F him. And it's right away. I'm like, okay, well, I guess we're meant to be here, you know. But we run into a lot of cases like that. I mean, there's a couple of caseloads that I had like a couple of years ago where, you know, I was dealing with, I call them the nine princes, you know, which is like, it was a bunch of demonic cases. And the reason why I say demonic cases was because the clients were calling themselves demonic names. You know, it wasn't that I went down there and then there was demons inside the house. It was just the clients were saying, hey, I'm having visions and I'm calling myself this name. And I, you know, it would be a particular name for, you know, or something, you know, of a hierarchy, a demon. And I'm like, okay, well, that's weird. And then, you know, one case would lead to another case. And then that case would be this, you know, the governor or whatever it may be. And it would be this hierarchy name. And I'm like, okay, it's getting stranger. And then like, it would literally be probably, I think it was like in a 8, 9, 10 months time where all those cases came. And the last case that I had for them, which it literally was like a literal dead end. I had this case come down from Dallas, and it was a mom and her son, if I remember correctly. This case was handed down for me to him from another team that was there, but they didn't know my name or anything like that. They just had my phone number. And when the mom had called me, I had answered, hey, this is John John with Dark Explorers. And she was like, your name's John John? I'm like, yeah, my name's John John. And she was like, okay, well, this is weird because my son has been saying for the last 2 weeks that John John can't help me. And I'm like,
oh, well, that gave me goosebumps.
And I'm like, well, who's your son? And she would just tell me, well, his name is this and this and this. And I'm like, okay, well, how long has this been going on? And she's like, it's been going on for the past 2 weeks. And I was like, okay, well, let's go ahead and try to schedule something that we can go all the way out there. So we made the date. So as soon as we made the date, you know, I waited a couple of days and I still messaged her and I was asking like, hey, how's everything going? But then I don't know if you ever done it before, but like if a spam call comes in and it's like your area code for some reason, then you just don't want to talk to that person that you slide over.
I do that all the time. Yeah. It's like, so I don't know who that is. I'm not answering.
Yeah. So when I do that, but I send them a text message and then it comes back as invalid number. And I'm like, oh, that's a spam call. So I did the same thing. And this was like maybe 3 or 4 years ago, probably a little bit more than that. And I did the same thing. And this is her cell phone. Keep that in mind. So I sent her a message like, hey, how's everything going? And it comes back as invalid. I'm like, what? That's weird. I'm like, okay, well, I waited a couple of days, another. So I go ahead and call. And then it just said, this number is no longer in service, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what in the world? So I'm like, okay, well, I reach out to that other investigator who connected me. They tried them too, and nothing. And just literally, whatever happened, they just kind of fell off the face of the earth. Like the investigating team went to the house. The house was like empty. I mean, there was nobody. No phone, no track record of anywhere they went or anything like that. They just disappeared.
Do you think it could have been they were so terrified that it's like we're just taken off?
I have no idea. Wow. I honestly have no idea. I mean, but like I said, each one of those cases were, you know, they would call themselves a certain demon. And it seemed like each case that I was taking on for those 10 months, it seemed to be that way. I mean, they would tell me the first one was in Houston. The second one was in San Marcos. The other one was in Austin. The other one was in Mineral Wells. Here in Temple, Dallas. I mean, geez, all over the place. But every single one of them knew who I was before I was going into them. But that last one in particular, I was kind of like, that is strange that you would say that, you know, that John John can't help me. And I have no idea who they were at all, you know, but. It's gotten to the point to where, you know, that's happening almost regularly now. And it gets a little strange.
I'm so fascinated by what you do and terrified of it at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't think that I'm going to rephrase that. I know that I am not strong enough to do what you do. Mm-hmm. But how did you even get to the place that you could face something like that and try to help these people get rid of their demons? And I mean that literally.
Yeah. So my parents have told me that ever since I was a younger kid, that I always said that I always wanted to be a priest. And I would always tell my dad that I was a soldier of God. I'm a soldier of God. You know, and that's, I don't know if kids nowadays say that, but I've always said that. I always felt like I was more than I am now, or more than I was, you know, I was meant to do more. And I've tried to get into the seminary and stuff like that. And my main goal was to actually become an exorcist priest. And I'm not trying to jump online and get a certificate, you know, saying that I'm an exorcist or anything like that. I was actually going into the seminary, you know, to get into the church, to do my studies, to do all that stuff, and eventually, you know, lead me to where, you know, the Vatican and stuff like that, so I can actually study to be this, because I'm dead serious about wanting to do this. But things happen in life. Mm-hmm. Eventually, you know, my road to that was closed, and just could not pursue it anymore. But learning that you definitely do not need, and this is my belief, and I apologize if anybody takes any offense to it, but like, it's my belief that you don't necessarily need to have that cloth on to say that you're a man of God. It's definitely comes from within.
Yes.
You know, if, I mean, it's, there's a lot, I mean, I've worked with a lot of churches. I worked with a lot of priests. I worked with people who believe in God so much. I've seen them work at firsthand. I'm like, how are you not able to do this when you are a man of God? You know, so what's the difference between you and me? I have no idea what it is, you know, so, you know, I even had to pray over a couple of exorcist priests before because of the situation that was going on. So, you know, I don't know exactly what it is, you know, and I'm, you know, even right now, I'm still trying to look up research, figure out what it is, you know, what is it? What's the calling there that has me at that point to where I can face so much and deal with so much and not really have that much repercussions to it? You know, so most people will go in and then try to pray over somebody and they'll get sick and all this other stuff. And for me, that doesn't really happen at all. One of the crazy things is too, is like, whoever I am praying over and they are having like a severe attachment or something, maybe I always get them to open their eyes and look at me face to face, like eye to eye. I want to see what's in their eye, you know? So, and that's important to me. So I want to see what's going on.
I think it's very interesting because you bring up a good point. Mm-hmm. And I guess that, you know, it's kind of like, some people, we all know these people who say they're good Christian people, and then you see them doing unchristian-like things.
Yeah.
And if you really are a believer, why are you treating other people like that? Or why are you going to church on Sunday morning and Saturday night you're out shit-faced drunk with people? You know what I'm saying? So I think that it's who you are. It's part of who you are. And you can, you don't have to go get this cloth that tells you, okay, you're official now. I think that there are just some people who, not obviously to the extent that you are, you know, I think what you're doing is a much needed service, but not everybody can do that. And even people who are priests or people who have really studied and gone into the seminary and other religious faiths, they're not equipped to do it. I think there are very few people equipped to do it.
Yeah, and I've seen it firsthand, and I've literally seen it firsthand, and I'm like, what in the world? It's like, you're supposed to be like the main one. Okay, well, I'll help out, you know, and take over, whatever it may be. But I mean, my dad used to tell me a story about, and forgive me if I say the story, but it's a story in the Bible where I guess there's a guy who's trying to get rid of these demons or into this body or whatever it may be. And that thing tells him that, I know God, I know this person, but I don't know you. I kind of feel like that's what's happening a lot now. It's like, it's cool now to, you know, become, you know, a demonologist and an exorcist and all this other stuff. But there's something missing in there where if you actually face what is out there that's really, really, really evil, it's not going to be like, yeah, your certificate is more powerful than anything.
Right.
You know, it doesn't work like that. It's very, very strange. You know, I mean, even with Jordan, you know, I mean, she's witnessed it too, where, hey, I thought he was supposed to be, you know, this, and Why is it not working? Why is it just straight up laughing at him and all this other stuff? And then the moment that I put my hands on our client, I mean, it's like they fighting and biting and throwing fits and all this other stuff and start speaking other languages and all these other things. So, I mean, like, I don't know. And I'm literally trying to figure that out. You know, I really want to figure that out, you know, but I also feel like my next step is to become a priest or something like that, you know. And for some unfortunately, I've been hitting dead roads now, you know. So it's just been like, okay, well, I don't know if that is actually meant for me to do that way and just kind of say how I am, but I don't know. I just feel like I still feel like I'm meant for much more, and I'm just trying to figure that out.
And you mentioned Jordan, and Jordan's your fiance.
Yes.
And congratulations on your upcoming marriage. How did you meet? Because I find that very interesting. I think it's hard enough to meet someone who gets you in this world anyway. And and you found a very special woman who understands what you do and who you are. And I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, I've had a lot of relationships, and a lot of the women that I was with, and I always tell them, hey, it's not easy being with me because of what I do. And because of what I do puts a lot of strain on the relationship because other things get involved. And I'm not talking about like humans or anything like that. Other things tend to test the relationship, or just if you're not used to like paranormal or anything like that, it can weigh on you a lot.
Yeah. Well, and if you're literally fighting demons, I could see how that might be a deal breaker for some women.
Oh yeah. So the funny thing is, like, I met Jordan, man, probably about 8 years ago, probably something like that. And we were actually doing an investigation at her place of work, which is at the Santa Fe Railroad Museum. And she was there for the night, and hey, I shook her hand and all this other stuff. And I was like, hey, who's this cutie? Yeah. But you know, we did the investigation there, and we kind of just stayed in touch for a little bit, lost touch for a little bit, stayed in touch for a little bit. And, you know, it just, I don't know, when things became naturally towards, when we started becoming more friends, it just naturally happened, so to speak. And things happened, got into a relationship, and I was just like, okay, well, I have to tell you this now too. Like, not everybody can handle the relationship and all this other stuff. And she would always tell me, like, your energy is so chaotic. It just feels like there's so much. And I'm like, yeah, I get a lot of people who tell me that. And a lot of people don't like to shake my hand because the energy that is like coming from me, I guess they just don't like it, you know? So I'm like, I don't know what it is, but she's like, I can handle it. And I was like, okay.
I love that so much.
Yeah. So we've been on the same path for a while too. And, you know, it's not every day that you find somebody like that, but it's not every day that you find somebody who's on the same page as you.
Yes.
And I think that's the most important thing, because she also has abilities, but she didn't come into them or really didn't understand them until she started getting, you know, with more cases with me. And, you know, she's seen stuff when she was younger, and she can actually see them as like you were seeing, if you were standing in front of each other, you know, so she can see them as plain as day, you know. But that part didn't really kick in until she started doing more investigations with me. But like I said, the understanding of her understanding what I do and knowing that there is good and evil and there is, you know, things out there that we need to help people with is something very rare that you find somebody who is like, okay, you know what?
Yes.
I'm with you, and I'm with you through all of this. And ever since we've been together, it's just been like, man, I mean, yeah, we've had our heartbreaks and all this because of the stuff that we do, you know, and we jump back on the horse and say, you know what, it's just things that are trying to interfere in our relationship because for some reason it doesn't want us together, and we're not going to allow those things to get into our lives. And we push it and we push and we push and get to the other side of all things, and things are good and getting engaged and hey, we're getting married, and, you know, so there's always good things to it. But man, being with her, it's like literally the missing piece that I had missing, you know. And it's
that touches my heart. I love that.
And she's been my light through all of this, you know. And there's been people, I mean, and it's and the paranormal drama is very true, you know, and some for some reason we always been like the big targets of it because of what we do, because of what we believe in and stuff like that. And even our recent clients, you know, they kind of were just like, well, we didn't want investigators to come in because investigators don't really believe in Jesus or in Christ or in God. They believe in other things. So they're like, we were hesitant for you to come in. But until you told us that, hey, you do it through everything through prayer and we do this and we do that, do it this way, you know, they kind of were like open to it. And when we went in there, he was like, you guys were totally not what we were expecting. We were expecting you guys to come with Ouija boards and, you know, not believe in God and not trying to actually save us and help us, as opposed to somebody who's in here trying to get evidence. I'm like, yeah, you know, we're not like that at all. Our first thing is to help the family. Yeah, evidence is great and all, but it's not going to help you guys, you know, and we're there for you guys. And for Jordan, you know, she is very much on the same page with that. So, you know, her empathy with the families and all of the other stuff. I mean, it's incredible for me to see her at work and doing all this stuff and just caring for the families too. It's not every day that you see somebody who's genuinely there to actually help.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation with John Montelongo. If you would like more information, just search for Dark Explorers Paranormal on Facebook. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, then you can become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free, or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you so much for listening.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all iqbar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.